Thank you, Bob. We seem to be all in a positive frame of mind today. We're all singing very joyfully and sounds wonderful from where I'm sitting. I like to look at a subject I seem to have more and more difficulty as I age. But not just as I aged, others have it too. We have it throughout our lives. When we're young children, sometimes we have it. And especially in our teens, as we change and become adults, and a lot of changes happen in our lives, we seem to have it then. And then when we're young adults and we get married, maybe that isn't so bad then, but when we have children, that's a time for it as well. I remember when we had children. And it's just a wonderful blessing when they come. And God always makes things work out in a positive way. And it also affects us other times in our lives, throughout our lives. It's probably the biggest, if not one of the things that really affects us when someone dies, or one of our loved ones, a close friend, or our mother and father, if we were very close to them, or mostly, it really affects us when our mate dies. I haven't gone through that one. But I see the effects of another people. All of us have felt it and its effects. It's sadness, it's depression, it's loss, it's fear. It's fear of the events that are happening to us around us. The subject is anxiety. Now I like to look at the definition of anxiety. It says it's a feeling of worry. Now, I get to do that sometimes. Nervousness or unease. Typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Sometimes, for myself, I can relate to that. You can't sleep at night, right? You get all anxious about the events of tomorrow. Psychologically, or whatever you want to call that particular, where they study the mind, it's a mental condition characterized by excessive apprehensiveness about real or perceived threats. Typically leads to it leads to different behaviors. And often to physical symptoms, such as increased heart rate, muscle tension, possibly depression, and it can even lead to people committing suicide. They say that things that help anxiety, some of the physical things that can help, are activities. A healthy diet, regular sleep, which seems to elude us when we have it, and relaxation, exercise, and helping others seems to reduce it. And talking to a real close friend helps us to get over it. Now, I know this is a huge subject, very big subject, and I could talk to you about many things that I don't even know everything about, medical fields and so forth, those that study the mind and work with those that have trouble that way. But I don't know much about that. I know this is a big subject, and it affects probably all of us one time or another in our lives in some way. But I only want to look at one area of it. I want to look at what God says about it to help each of us. I'm sure there's more scriptures than I'm going to give you today about it, and there's much more in God's Word which you will have to study for yourself. I titled the sermon, God's Answer to Anxiety. There are positive and encouraging words in God's Word. He gives us to help us with anxiety. We'll look at just a few. I wanted to put this in the introduction. I forgot to. Also, with anxiety and the definition, anxiety can also become be caused by human imbalances. There are certain things that they studied and said The human body is a magnificent thing that God created, and it works so wonderfully, but sometimes things get out of whack. And they said about hormonal troubles and thyroid troubles can cause anxiety as well. And it can cause great depression, and it can even to the point where someone would take its life. So I want to put in here that if you get to that state, you need to get physical help, or not physical help, mental help, or whatever you want to call it. So there's places that you can call to get help. So please do that if you ever get to that state. All right, so let's go to the scriptures. That's where I was going to. So there are positive, encouraging words God gives to us to help us with anxiety. So the first scripture I have for you is in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Now, Paul's writing. He writes this book, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, he says to the people he's writing to, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So he gives us a couple points there for us to do. He tells us that we should pray to God, and we should always look when we get to that anxious stage to think of all the blessings that God gave us and thank him for that first. And that'll help us to get ourselves out of being so anxious. And then notice the next verse, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Through Christ Jesus. So here he's talking about we should talk to God, and God gives us inner peace. And you know, one of the things that Christ tells us about, and we'll get to that scripture a little later, is in John 14. He says, peace, Christ told us after the Passover, peace I give you, peace I leave you with. So we need to ask for that peace when we get to that anxiety, when we become that way. And he says, and it says, we need to talk to God. We need to have our prayers and give him your fears that you're worried about, that causes your anxiety. Give him your fears. And he will give you peace. That's what the scripture seems to tell us. Now let's go to 2 Timothy 1 through 7. 2 Timothy 1 through 7. Here Paul's talking to Timothy. And remember, Timothy was a young man when Paul was talking to him. He's probably only 17, 18, 19 years old, something like that. And so this is for the young. He's giving this advice to the young. 1 Timothy 1, 7, and we'll read a little farther. No, just 1:7. Well, the pages don't turn today. I'm in the wrong book. Oh, well, I got it. 1 Timothy 1:7. Here we go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. No. Well, what does he give us? He doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gives us a spirit of power and a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. That's what he gives us. So here God doesn't give us that fear that causes the anxiety. He's telling us to ask for those things that he's willing to give us. And what is he willing to give us? The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and of a sound mind, which helps us through those difficult times when we get that anxiousness that we have. Let's go to Romans 8, 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Here it states, for as many as are led by the Spirit, that means God's Holy Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, he says, right? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, and we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So here it talks, God calls us, and God calls, and we accept his calling, right? The gift of his Holy Spirit should be helping us through those anxious times. He's willing to help us. We become sons and daughters of God. We're heirs to God. We're joint heirs with Christ. And we're to follow the example of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth, right? So why should we ever get anxious? Why should we ever get to the point where we feel so depressed that we can't seem to move or move forward? Why is that? We don't have our minds usually at the right place. We're not staying focused and close to God. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. We were just in Timothy. We'll go back to 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And we'll read what he says here to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Oh, I must have did something wrong. Oh, I'm in 2 and it's verse 22. I'm sorry. Verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, it says. And then he tells us what we are to be pursuing. But we're to pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he's telling us the things that we should strive for in our prayers and just and to aim for, and to give us and to put and to let his pure heart, God's pure heart, within us. We need to ask for that when we get that way. When we have anxiety, what usually happens? Well, we can't sleep, right? It avoids us. God talks a lot about that. Let's go to Psalms 4, verses 5 and 6, and what we can do to get over that period of time when we're like that and to take the anxiety away from us. And so it's in Psalms 4, verses 5 and 6. Psalms 4, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 4, verse 5 and 6. Here, this is written by David. David writes this particular psalm. Verse 5, for chapter 4 of Psalms. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So he tells you two things. The sacrifice of God and his righteousness, and you're to put our trust in God. There are many who say, who will show us any good, Lord? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us. God says, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you through all these difficulties. And then verse 7, he says, you have put gladness in my heart. So when we're anxious, we usually aren't happy, right? And he says he'll put the gladness in our hearts. More than in the seasons that there are grain and wine and increase. More than the physical things. And then verse 8, he says, I will lie down in peace and sleep. And then he tells us why we will lie down in peace and sleep. It says, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So God is the one who keeps us safe. He's promised to keep us safe. He's going to help us through those difficult times of when we seem like everything's falling apart around us, and he's going to help us. But we have to ask. He says, I will dwell for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety, and then we can have sleep. Now, just a chapter back in Psalms 3, probably over a page or so, in verse 3 and 4, notice what it says here, talking about the same thing. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. So he is our shield. And if you ever think of a warrior of the past, perhaps now they have shields of armor on and so forth. But years ago, they had a shield that they actually held up, and they were to protect them from the arrows. You've probably seen how the Romans all stood in the road, and then they put their shields up, and the arrows would come down and hit the shields. Or they would all stand in a block type thing, and then they couldn't come to them in any directions, and then they were had more protection. Well, God says he's our shield, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. So he says, he's our shield, he's our protector, he's the one watching over us. He puts us in the positive attitude when we become depressed. He tells us we're to pray to him and show him the fear and God will hear us when we pray to him from his throne. He's always listening. Notice verse 5, it says, I lay down and sleep. And why does he lay down and sleep? And the psalmist tells us, I awake, for the Lord sustains me. So God is with me. I know he's there. I know he's around me, and he will protect me from harm. So God is, he gives us the right attitude and sleep because God sustains us. Why? Because he's watching over us. He places his angels about us. He tells us other places he will help us no matter what the difficulty is. So why are we anxious? This is the question. We just have to give the anxiousness that we have to God. Plus, Psalm 46. We'll get to that a little later. Psalm 46, verse 1-3. Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and our strength. So he's the one that provides everything. A very pleasant help in trouble. He says he's there for us. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. So it's like an earthquake. Though his waters roaring like in a flood and be troubled. Though the mountains shake and with its swelling. So there's great earthquakes all around you. But he says, back in verse 1, a present help in trouble. There will be no fear. There we will not be fearful in verse 2. Though everything around us falls apart, God is with us. Now let's drop down to verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When we get to that state of anxiety, are we thinking about God? Well, when I look at my life, I'm usually not thinking about God. I'm trying to do something by myself. And I'm not praying to him to help me through that situation or whatever it is. And that's why I think for myself, I get anxious. Now I want you to remember what God did for Israel. You can look back and I'll just hit highlights. And he comes out, first of all, he gets them, goes through the plagues, right? And remember, all those plagues were all Egyptians' pagan gods. He cursed those pagan gods, and those plagues were all against those gods. Then he gets to the Red Sea, and they were all fearful, and I'm sure they were anxious. And, of course, the Red Sea opens up. Then the plagues of Egypt, I told you that one way. Then the manna comes down from God when they don't have anything to eat. And then gives them quail because they don't have meat. They want meat, so he gives them quail. They don't have water. He provides them water. I'm sure they were anxious when they didn't have water. We all get anxious when we don't have water. I remember when the well went dry and we didn't have water. And I was anxious. So it was my wife and children. And then they go to the Jordan River and the next generation. God does the same thing. He opens the stream up and they walk through on dry ground. The Ark of the Covenant went first. And then you can think of Jericho, and they walk around the thing many times, and the seventh time they walk around seven times. They blow the trumpet, and they all shout, and walls fall down. Then he heals Hezekiah, and he lives another 12 years. Think of all those things God did for them. And Hannah, remember she couldn't have any children, and she prayed to God, and she was at the temple, probably one of the holy days. It might even told you which holy day. And she prays for a son. And God hears her. She couldn't have any children, and she had Samuel. Remember she had Samuel? And she gave Samuel to God. After he was three, he returned back and became a prophet of God. Think of Christ feeding the 5,000. How can we possibly, in our minds, become anxious? of a God who does all these things. We don't think about those things when we're going through something, do we? He heals it. Christ healed the sick. How about Lazarus and coming up from the dead? And then his own death and resurrection and the gift of God's Holy Spirit. With God for us, why do we have fear? And why do we tremble? And why do we have anxiety? And why do we come depressed? God is our refuge, it says in the Psalms, our strength. He is there for us. All we need to do is talk to him. And we need to study his word more. Not just more. We need to study his word more thoroughly and see what it really means. That'll help us to not be anxious. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And we'll start in verse 24. Now, Christ was talking here, Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, 24. And he's talking about serving two masters. He says, no one can serve two masters in verse 24. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will love the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and manna. You can't serve God, and you can't serve anything else. Okay, so we can't serve two masters. We understand that. Verse 25, then he makes the next statement. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Of course, we understand that. Now let's drop to verse 30. We won't read the whole account. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then he makes a statement. And what is that statement? Oh, you of little faith. And we look at that for ourselves. Look at it at ourselves. Oh, you of little faith. And then he says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all of these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He says, so God knows all we need already. And he knows, and he says that we need to grow our faith. We have to trust in him more. We need to put our doubts and fears and depressions, our anxieties, and give them to God. That's what he's telling you. So our faith, and when God intervenes in our lives, it strengthens our faith. But there's one thing we should not do. And we do it. I shouldn't say that. I do it. Maybe you do it too. And that is, we take it back. We give it to him and say, take care of it. But then we take it back and we become anxious even more. Now, I want to read another thing here. I'll give you an example. Now, I know this is kind of a simple example, but it happened to us last week. So I took a bunch of stuff of Heidi's, and we took it to Brandon's apartment since she's getting married in 2 weeks. But they hadn't gotten a marriage license as of yet. And they found out that they could get a marriage license by going to the computer and, you know, going to certain courthouses. You can do everything on computer. And then if you got an appointment with them, you could do it on Zoom or something like that, right? But you had to prove to them that you were Brandon and you were Heidi, so you can get a marriage license. Now, it's much easier if you go to the courthouse and you know the people at the courthouse, and you go in there and they know you, you live in the same county, and you go over there, and it's real easy because I did it when I was young. It wasn't hard at all. You went in the courthouse, it was simple. But of course, this wasn't quite as simple. So because there was no time on Zoom until June 25th, there would be no marriage license. So the closest place for both of us was Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Allegheny. So we left on Friday morning. We took our stuff out through, and we were going to Pittsburgh. Now, of course, you can guess what it's like. Let's see, where am I at? It's So it's a Friday, and we're driving down to the town of Pittsburgh, well, the city of Pittsburgh. And, of course, what do you think happens in Pittsburgh? Well, it's a big city. It's like Philadelphia. We're at Philadelphia. We're at New York City. You know how that is. And it's Friday afternoon. Now, what do you think happens? Oh, there's going to be traffic. And you're going to stop. And you're going to sit. And you only have a window of about an hour till the courthouse closes when you get there. And why was that? Well, Brandon couldn't get off of work before that, so he couldn't get there before that time. This doesn't look good, does it? So we were all praying, right? And we're asking that this all works out. We only got this window of 1 hour. Of course, traffic is what traffic is. So we all prayed it will work out. You know, it's easy to become anxious when you get there a little early and the other one isn't there yet. And one party isn't there. But you're not supposed to get anxious. You know, you gave it to God. You prayed to him. Don't take it back. So there we are. Oops. So we're sitting there and we're sitting outside the courthouse. It wasn't a courthouse. I guess it was some annex building. I forget what it was called. Doesn't matter. So then Brandon finally gets there, and he gets there at 3:15. Oh, we were glad to see him. He was at the other end of the building. It was a huge, it took a whole city block, square, running all the way around this building. He was coming in the other doors. We didn't know where he was. And then they texted and talked to each other, and we found him. And we asked God to help us. But it's hard to wait. I told you that. It's easy to think of all the negative things while you're waiting, right? Oh, I thought that traffic's going to be horrible. He's not going to make it on time. I tried to just put those things out of my head. I said I gave it to God. I wasn't going to take it back. So a lot of things could have went wrong. It's much harder to give our problems to God, though, and put it in his hands. And don't take it back. We need to trust him. Well, it all worked out. They got their marriage license. They went in there, and 10, 15 minutes later, they come walking out, and you didn't have to ask them any questions. The smile was all over their face. So it all worked out. God made it happen. So that's one where anxiety could easily take control if we don't give it to him and we don't take it back. So I sat there on the bench and I tried not to take it back. Now let's read verse 34 of Matthew 6 where we were. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day its own trouble. Now, how many of us have ever done that? We can all probably raise our hand, but I can raise my hand because I've done that many a times. But you know, if you give it to God and you don't take it back, in my life, he's made it work out so many times that I thought it would never work out. I don't know why, but he does. He makes it work out. All right, so let's go to John 14:27. Here's where I referred to earlier, and you probably know where we're going. We just read this after the Passover. I took the bread and the wine, the foot washing. And Christ is talking to his disciples in John 14:27, and he makes this statement. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ says he's giving us peace. I leave you with it, he says. My peace I give you, he says. We have access to God's peace. If we take it, all we have to do is ask for it. And focus on God's truth. And don't let worry and anxiety take away from God's peace. It's easy to do. He gives it to each of us. We just have to believe Christ's words. Let's go to Psalm 55:22. Psalm 55:22. Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast all your burdens on God, the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He'll be there. He'll help you. through every difficulty you're going to have in your life, so you can develop that character he wants. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. He won't permit us to be destroyed. He says he'll be with us. So he's telling us to put our cares and all our anxieties, all our worries, all our problems on him, on God. And he says he will sustain us. He will help us no matter what. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, Tim read this in the sermonette, if you remember. But we'll just read verse 5. He kept reading a couple verses more. But 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you young people, submit to your elders." And then, you know, I always, when I was young and I read that, I used to think, oh, the young people are supposed to submit to the youngers. But you know, if you keep reading, it doesn't just say the elders. He says, yes, all of you. That means young, children, middle-aged, old. It says, yes, all of you, be submissive to one another. So he says, we're all supposed to be caring for others. And be clothed with humility. That's a big plus, a big factor in being anxious and having anxiety. If we aren't humble before God, we have great difficulty with that. It says, clothed with humility, for God resists the proud. And Tim went on and talked about that. But notice what he gives to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He gives his promise of eternal life, his grace, his blessings, his help. Humility helps us not to be anxious. And caring for someone else and being submissive to someone else helps us as well. You know, it's real hard to get anxious when you're... better not use that example. I was thinking of my father-in-law when he couldn't do anything anymore. So, you know, when you helped him... he couldn't move his arm, and his one leg didn't work. He had a bad stroke. Couldn't talk for 10 years, and I'd give him showers and stuff, and it was kind of comical. He never liked to get his head wet, and the temperature had to be just right. He never liked it too cold. He never liked it too hot. So you went in there, and you turned on the shower. He stood in there, and he turned the shower on. He'd always tell you it was too hot. Too hot? And you'd say, And he's, you know, it's turned on. Oh, too cold. And it turned again. And, oh, we must have played for that. Now, it wasn't this long. But it seemed like when you're sitting there going, it seemed like forever, right? But it wasn't that long. They finally got it right, and then we wash his head and wash him up. And he never liked to get his head wet. So when you washed his head, had to put a cloth over his eyes, didn't want any water in his eyes, and he had to hold his head back. And it was a lot. But caring for others and helping others, it's hard to have anxiety. There's something about that, humility and helping others. Those are two things that God helps us with. And then he says, you know, another thing that really helps you not to have anxiety, and that is finishing any project you start. It's rewarding. It's just positive. Like, if you're fixing up a house, and you slowly work at it, and it may take you 10, maybe more years, depending how much money you had to put in the material, and you get it accomplished. It's such a wonderful feeling. You don't have anxieties accomplishing any goal that you have. You know, I talked about in the beginning about death, and when a loved one dies, and we become anxious. There's many other words you can say. You have anxiety, you have fears, you're depressed. All of that is part of anxiety. And you go through that trial. But, you know, God says he's there. And he is there. And he's the most important thing that helps you through those difficult times. And I remember when Robert was, he died when he was 59. And we were partners for 30-some years. And we used to say, well, we're kind of like married people. We knew each other really good. In a job site, you never had to talk. We've done it so long. He'd do one thing, I'd do the other thing. It was just like He was like my left hand. He thought, oh, I know what he's thinking. When you get married so long, you know what your wife's thinking. Or maybe if you're a husband, or vice versa, your husband's thinking. But when he died, I remember going up to his room where he had passed away. He was sitting on his chair. And he just slooped over. And there was no struggle. He had the heart got out of sync. And then the coroner said, oh, he said, he just went to sleep. He didn't get enough oxygen, the blood didn't circulate, so he just went to sleep. And he slouched on his chair looking at his computer. The computer was off at that time. And I remember going home that night, and I stomped my feet. I sat outside I didn't know what else to do. I sat outside under the maple tree, and I stomped my feet real hard. Boom! Oh, I was so upset. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? How am I going to take care of all these bids we have out? How am I going to do all that stuff? I was anxious, right? And I remember praying, what am I going to do? And I remember a calmness came over me and said, well, it all worked. It was just like something came into me and I was calm and I said, it all worked. God made it all work. We got all the work that we had and we were able to accomplish it. It was a difficult time. Now, I don't know what it's like to lose a mate, but some of you in here have lost a mate. It's probably maybe even more difficult. I don't know. Probably is. But we've all lost, many of us lost our mothers and fathers already. And that's a difficult time to go through too. But God says he's there. And all we have to do is pray and ask, and he will help us to accomplish what needs to be accomplished and to help us through that time of being anxious and having anxiety. So there's three things that Peter says. He says humbleness helps us, caring for someone else helps us, and I put in finishing a project sure helped me, finishing a goal. Now, one more scripture for you. And I know I'm a little early, so I know the food won't be ready. That's all right. We just get the fellowship more. But in Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses can't go into the promised land, right? And he makes this statement to Joshua. And he makes this statement, and we should take this to heart to help us through these times when we get anxious, depressed, and so forth. He says, Moses said, be strong. That means don't be weak. Be strong and of good courage. Have determination and do what's right. Do not fear, it says. Don't have any fear. Nor be afraid of them. He's talking about the Canaanites where they were going to the land of Canaan. But we can put that in, and we shouldn't have fear of all the things that we get concocted in our heads. And then he tells us why. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. And he's promised us that, hasn't he? He is the one who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what will help us when we become depressed and have anxiety. God is there, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is ask.